He looks into Raleigh Hensley, gets the signal, goes into a windup. Here's the first pitch coming in, and Leap swings on it, foul tips it, goes by Hensley, bounces off the chest protector of the umpire, and a new ball goes out to Big Al Milton. A strike one is a count on Leap. Alexander's still in the bullpen for Washington. Here's the pitch coming in, and Leap fouls it. Back over the stands, put Al Milner out in front with a count strike two. Degelick will take up the pitching duties for the Senators in the first half of the night. Milner's ready for the next pitch into Leap. Here it is. It's high. The ball one. One and two on Leap. In comes the next pitch to Eddie. He started to swing, but changed his mind. It was too high for ball two. That evens a count of two and two. One out, nobody on, last half of the eighth. Cleveland 6, Washington 2. Here's the next one coming in, and Leap fouls it back into the screen. The count remains two and two. Raleigh Hensley gets a new one, tosses it out to Al Milner. Don't forget an off day tomorrow, no game. The New York Yankees move in Saturday. Here's the next one coming in. It's high, ball three. And the big pitch will be coming in to Eddie Leap. A single game Saturday, getting underway at 3 o'clock. Single game on Sunday, also getting underway at 3 o'clock. Al starts his windup. Here it comes. And Leap hits it. A ground ball goes between third and short, out into left field. Weatherly fields it on the ground, makes his throw into Boudreau at second base. And Eddie Leap is on first with his third hit of the afternoon. Pretty good day's work for a youngster. Three hits out of four times up. So it's one away, a runner on first, and Hal Quick, shortstop, coming up. He's hitless out of three times up. Bats from the right side. Milner takes a stretch. Look over first base way. In comes the pitch. And Quick takes one across that inside corner, waist high for a call strike. In comes the next pitch too quick, and he swings on it, hits it in the air. It's going into right field. Campbell backs up, makes the catch. We're out number two. Gets his throw in to Sammy Hale at second base. So it's two away with Eddie Leap on first and Alec Pitko, right fielder, right-hand batter coming up. He walked in the first inning, flied to right field in the fourth, and hit into a double play in the sixth. In comes the first pitch to Pitko, and he swings on it. Foul tips it. Goes back against the stands. Count strike one. Al gets a signal from Raleigh Hensley. Here's the next one coming in. Outside high. It's a wild pitch. The ball gets away from Hensley. And there goes Eddie Leap into second base. That's a wild pitch for Al Milner. Moves Eddie Leap into second base and makes the count read 1-1 on Pitko. Al standing with his back to the plate, rubbing that ball off. Takes a stretch, a look at second base. Here comes, and Pitko fouls it back over the stands. Give Milner the edge for the count reading ball one and strike two. 2 men are away, a runner on second, the last half of the eighth inning, and Cleveland leading 6-2. Scoring all six of their runs in that first half of the eighth, and they batted 10 men. Here comes the next pitch in, and Pitko hits one high bounding ball down over second base. It bounds high, gets away from Boudreau. Here comes the throw into the plate, but Eddie Leap is in, sliding in. That's a base hit for Pitko. The ball took a high bound, going down over second base. Lou Boudreau went over to field the ball. It hit the tip of his glove, rolled over his head. Eddie Leap rounded third and scored. Although there was a play at the plate, Lou Boudreau's throw was a little high. Hensley went down on him to tagging, but Eddie slid around him and over the edge of the plate and scored with the third run of the ball game for Washington. We have a runner on first now. With 2 men out, and up comes Taft right. Left fielder, left-hand batter. Taft has one hit out of three official times at bat. Here's the first pitch coming in. He takes it. It's low. Ball one. Ball one on right. Here's the next pitch coming in. Taft swings on it, hits a ground ball down second base way. Sammy Hale steals the ball, tosses to Lou Boudreau, who steps on second. And Sammy Wright forces Pitko at second base for the third out of the inning to retire the side. With one run, two hits, no errors, one runner left on base. So at the end of eight innings of play, the score now reads Cleveland 6 and Washington 3. Big Alexander Carrasquel is going to be the pitcher for Washington as we go into the first half of the ninth inning. And for that ninth inning, here is Walter Johnson.
All right, well, the score is 6-3, Cleveland now. If we can hold on this inning, then we need three runs to tie this ball game up. Big Alec Carrasquel is out there on the mound for the Senators now. Young Evans went up to bat in place of Bass. And Ben Chapman will be first up for Cleveland. Chapman's been up four times, walked twice, and has one base hit. Alec is out there tossing that ball in. It's the first half of the ninth. Getting a lot of shadows extending out over the field now. No, he didn't give me the sign I was waiting for him to. Attention, please. Carrasquel. Now pitching. For Washington. Carrasquel is out there, and here Chapman swings on that first pitch, hits a line drive right over Quick's head down at shortstop. He rounds first base right, hustles that ball in. Chapman goes back to first. So Chapman is on first base. Sammy Hale, the second baseman, comes up. Sammy's been up four times. He has one walk and one single and four trips up there. It's the first half of the ninth. Cleveland out in front, 6-3. Alec steps on there. Here's the first pitch on Hale. He swings, gets a base hit into left field, taken by Taft right on a big hop. And Chapman is down on second base. Sammy Hale on first. Nobody out. And Camel, right fielder, comes up there. Camel has been up four times. He has a two-base hit. He was hit last time up there. Bass hit him to fill the bases. Two on, nobody out. Here comes the first pitch on Camel. It's a ball a little bit outside. One ball. One to nothing. Charlie Gilbert laying in pretty close down on third looking for that bunt. But Alec finally backs off of there. Steps up on there again now. Here comes the pitch. He swings, hits a fly ball going into center field. Getting is coming in. He's under that ball and makes the catch. Camel flies out to Gettin in short left center for the first out. And Keltner, the third baseman, comes up now. He's been up four times. He has one hit, a double, his last time up. Man on first and second. There's one out. First half of the ninth. Alec steps on there. Takes the stretch. Here comes a pitch. And it's strike one. That's called. Came right down through there with a fast one. Keltner watched it go by. One strike. Alec steps on there again. Takes his stretch. Here comes the pitch. He swings and misses. That was a nice curve ball. Broke away. Two strikes on Keltner. Alec steps on there again. Backs off of there. And now Keltner backs out of there. Time is called. Keltner gets a little dirt on his hands. Walks back up in the batter's box. Alec steps on there. Here comes the pitch. And it's ball one. It's a fast one. It was a little bit outside there. Quick is ducking in around second base down there, trying to keep Ben Chapman back there. Leap came over, but he's going back now in his position. Here comes the next pitch. He swings and fouls it back. And Alec gets a new ball. 1-2. 2 men on. Cleveland out in front, 6-3. Alec steps on there again now. Here comes the pitch. He swings and misses. Chapman's on his way to third base, and he's out. Kellner goes down swinging, and Chapman is out, trying to steal third. Side retired with no runs, 2 hits, no errors, 1 man left. So we're going into the last half of the ninth with Cleveland out in front, 6-3. We need 3 runs to tie this score. And Charlie Gilbert will be up there first. Charlie Gilbert playing third base in today's ball game. He's been up 3 times. He has 2 base hits and 3 trips up there, 1 double and a home run. Milner's out there tossing that ball in. Charlie Gilbert's getting a nice hand from these lady folks. Charlie's played a nice ball game out there today. There goes the throw down to second base, goes around the infield, back to Milner. And the umpire says play ball. Uncle Nick is down on the coaching line to third, first base. Now here comes the first pitch. It's a curve ball, a little bit too low. It's ball one. Eisenstadt down the bullpen warming up for Cleveland. Here comes the next pitch. And it's a fastball. It's inside. Ball two. 2-0. Last half the ninth. We need 3 runs to tie. Miller starts his wind up. Here it comes. And it's strike one. That's a fast one right down the middle. 2-1. Starts his wind up again. He swings, hits a ground ball down to second base. Sammy Hill comes up with it, tosses to Grimes, and he's out. Gilbert goes out, second to first for the first out. And Vernon comes up now, first baseman. He's been up 3 times, failed to hit. Milner starts his windup. Here comes the pitch. It's a fastball inside, ball one. Vernon backs away a bit. Milner takes his windup again. Here comes a pitch. And this time it's strike one that's called. Vernon started after that one, then pulled away. Got a pretty good eye, this boy. Doesn't hit as many bad balls. Milner takes his windup again. Here comes a pitch. He swings and fouls it back. 1-2. Takes his wind up again. Here comes a pitch. He swings and fouls another one back. This time right on over the stand. And he gets another ball out there. One and two on Vernon. Here's a wind up. And a pitch, it's a high and inside. Ball two, 2-2. Milner starts his windup again. Here comes the pitch. He swings, it's a high foul over back of third base. Kellner's going over there, but he can't quite get it. It drops over there in the box seats and bounces up and out. And Keltner comes up with it, tosses in to the umpire who throws it away. He throws it back to the Washington dugout. That'll be used in batting practice. Ball was a little bit rough, probably. Milner takes his windup again. Here comes a pitch, and he goes down swinging. Milner came in there with a fastball just a little bit inside. Vernon took a cut at it, but missed. And Gideon comes up now, center fielder. He's been up three times, failed to hit. Two men out, nobody on. And it's 6-3. Here comes the next pitch. It's strike one. It just took that outside corner. One strike. Milner starts. She's winding up again. Here comes a pitch. He swings and fouls it back. It's two strikes on Gideon now. Starts his wind up again. Here comes. It's a fastball a little bit outside. One and two. Milner starts his wind up again. Here comes the pitch. And he starts after that one, but lets it go. It's a little bit too high. It's two and two. Gideon had a notion that time, but he changed his mind. A little bit too high. Here comes the next pitch. And he's called out on strikes. Milner came down in there, took that inside corner. And Gideon takes it. And Cleveland wins the ball game with six runs, nine hits, no errors. Washington, three runs, seven hits, and one error. And as Harris told you, there'll be no ball game here tomorrow. The Yankees come in Saturday for a single game and a single game with the Yankees Sunday. All right, Harry, if you have something over there.
Well, that just about tells the story of this afternoon's ball game. The winning pitcher, of course, was Big Al Milner, and the losing pitcher was Bass, the starting pitcher for Washington. We'd like to again remind you, fans, of Miller's Market, 2135 4th Street Northeast. Walter Johnson will be out seeing you tonight. And tomorrow night, you fans around the Calvert Market at 1862 Columbia Road Northwest. We'll be greeting you again over the air Saturday afternoon for that first game between the Yanks and the Senators. The second game of that series will be played Sunday afternoon. This is Harry McTighe speaking for Walter Johnson. Thanks for listening, and so long.
This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital. It's 5:17 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. Here's a distinguished timepiece, the 21 jewel Bulova President in the charm and color of natural gold. Curved, streamlined, an exceptional value. WJSV, Washington. Dances, and we present the transcribed music of Dick Carroll, his piano, and his orchestra. We present a program of dancing tunes played by top-ranking radio orchestras. Dick opens his quarter hour with Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Thank you. If you need money, it's the business of the Equitable Credit Company, 1321 New York Avenue, to see that you get it. To loan you money quickly, confidentially, and with no red tape. No matter what you need money for, if it's in the amount of from $50 to $1,000, and if you have a car, go to Equitable Credit Company, 1321 New York Avenue, and Mr. Burns will give you the cash. Your car need not be paid for. Equitable will reduce the payments and give you additional cash. Get the money now. Take from 1 to 20 months to pay. Drive to Equitable Credit Company, 1321 New York Avenue today. Tell Mr. Burns how much money you want and drive away with the cash. Mary Larkin sings as Dick Carroll and the orchestra recall another favorite of past seasons, the waltz, Love Me Forever. With our maestro at the piano, here's Oceans of Time, Dick Carroll and his music. Transcribed Music for a Dancing World comes to you tomorrow at the same time, played by Reed Murray, his trombone, and his orchestra. This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital. Fine. Housewives praise the wholesome goodness and economy of jumbo bread. Yet jumbo bread sells at the economical price of 8 cents a pound loaf, 15 cents for 2 full pound loaves at your neighborhood sanitary food store. WJSV, Washington. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Arrow News reporter with last-minute hit-the-spot news brought to you four times daily through the courtesy of Arrow Beer and Ale. Arrow Beer, the fine beer that brings you this broadcast, has always been a big favorite in Washington, and it's growing more popular each day, is making more friends than any other brand of beer that's sold in the city. Arrow Beer is growing faster because it has the famous flavor that real beer drinkers appreciate. Arrow is smooth, not sweet. Better, not bitter. The sharp bark of assassins' guns sounded above the thunder of artillery today and gave Europe grave new fears. A group of pro-Nazi Romanians shot and killed the premier of their pivotal Balkan state, armed Kanescu. The assassins then attacked the Bucharest radio station and shouted what seemed to be a signal into the microphone. Quick action by Romanian guards restored order, and the government now announces that the nation is calm. If the murder of Kalinescu was intended to touch off a general revolt by the pro-Nazi Romanian Iron Guard, it apparently has failed. Advices from various Romanian embassies indicate the government is in control and a military dictatorship is likely. Washington and the Berlin embassies both understand that General Ernst Balif has been named premier. The assassination came as all Europe followed Romania's position carefully, knowing that her oil and wheat are coveted by Hitler. The destruction of Poland has brought German and Russian troops almost to Romania's borders. For the moment at least, Romanian developments overshadow the shifting of millions of soldiers on the Western Front. But after 5 days of lull, the Rhineland sector is again the scene of major developments. Nazi artillery is pounding French lines in the Saar and Vos sectors. An unofficial French communique admits enemy fire south of the Saarbrücken, but says that the day was generally calm. France has completed general mobilization with 6 million men geared for action. Apparently fearing a renewed French drive, now that mobilization is complete, the Germans opened fire with artillery. Neutral observers believe the barrage is intended to hold the Allies in check until German reserves complete their migration from Poland to the Western Front. Heavy German troop movements have been underway for 2 days. Behind the battle lines, all Europe looked eagerly to America as the historic debate on neutrality revision began. As expected, the president asked for repeal of the arms embargo in exchange for a policy of cash and carry munitions sales to belligerents. Great Britain warmly received the president's message, which, if carried out by Congress, will help the Allies. In Rome, meanwhile, fascist newspapers printed peace editorials believed aimed at Mr. Roosevelt and the American Congress. They suggested that the present moment might be the last chance to prevent a destructively long war. In Paris, Premier Daladier told his people that France, as well as Poland, has been marked for dismemberment by the Nazis. He spoke of German maps showing France amputated and said the Nazis are trying to incite treason in Alsace and Brittany. Daladier said Poland was destroyed by a deal made in advance by Germany and Russia. Simultaneously, in London, England made public a blue book showing that as early as August 16th, the Nazis were confident that Russia would join them in splitting up Poland. This was 1 week before the German-Russian non-aggression pact was signed. Because of the fact that President Roosevelt's message to Congress was of such vital importance, and because thousands of Washingtonians were unable to hear the speech when it was broadcast over the Columbia Network this afternoon, WJSV will rebroadcast the entire speech from transcriptions beginning at 10:45 tonight. Here's a late bulletin from Bucharest, which states that General George Argenshaw, commander of the Bucharest Army Corps and former Minister of War, has been named Premier replacing the slain premier Amon Călinescu. Listen in again for the Arrow News Reporter, brought to you by the Globe Brewing Company of Baltimore, at 10 o'clock this evening. And remember, when you order beer, be sure to ask for Arrow, the beer with the famous flavor. This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital. The following announcement is electrically transcribed.
All rumors about 1940 cars add up to this.
Best Bets Buick.
Your nearest Buick dealer can give you the inside story.
Let's take time out, ladies and gentlemen. Time out with Johnny Sarve at the console of the Hammond Electric Organ. Johnny opens this evening's program with an excerpt from Porgy and Bess. Summertime. Prices on imported goods are going up. Furs, for example. Insurance rates for transporting furs from Central Europe have jumped 3,000%. Imagine the effect on fur prices. Zlotnik the Furrier is prepared. Months ago, Mr. Zlotnik bought heavily of the choicest imported fur pelts. And now these gorgeous furs are available at Zlotnik's at original price levels. If you mean to buy a new fur coat, be forewarned by this good advice from Zlotnik the Furrier. Now is the time to buy your furs. Gorgeous furs, original prices, at Zlotnik's individual terms. Zlotnik the Furrier, at the sign of the Big White Bear, 12th and G Streets. Johnny turns now to Nono Nanette and brings us that sprightly hit tune from the production, Tea for Two. Thank you. Because of the importance of President Roosevelt's address to Congress, we'd like to remind you again that the transcription of the talk will be broadcast over WJSV at 10:45 this evening for the benefit of those of our listeners who are unable to hear it at the time of its original delivery. Facile fingers of Johnny Saab bring us now one of the season's best ballads, White Sails. In response to numerous requests, Johnny Saab now complies and plays his theme song in entirety. Nicely done, Johnny. I'm sure that leaves nothing to be desired. For the past 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, you've been taking time out with Johnny Saab, who has been performing at the console of the Hammond Electric Organ. Johnny will be back again tomorrow evening at this same time. Hugh Conover speaking. This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital. WJSV, Washington. Presenting Harry McTagg, your good, rich sports reporter with up-to-the-minute news from the world of sports. These programs are made possible by the cooperation of your local good, rich dealers and good, rich Silvertown stores. And now, Harry McTagg.
Thank you, Warren, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Yankees took their third straight game from the Chicago White Sox this afternoon, winning out 5-2. The Yankees scored 5 runs off 10 hits. They made no errors. Chicago, 2 runs, 8 hits, and 1 error. Russo and Dickey, the battery for New York. Dietrich, Brown, and Tresh working for Chicago. Dietrich, the losing pitcher. Bill Dickey homered in the third inning with one on for the Yanks, and Joe Gordon in the third with nobody on. The Boston Red Sox beat the St. Louis Browns 6-2. Boston, 6 runs, 9 hits, no errors. St. Louis, 2 runs, 7 hits, 1 error. Gale House and Desautels for Boston. Kramer and Horshaney for St. Louis. Cronin homered in the seventh with one on for Boston. Kramer homered in the third with nobody on for St. Louis. And Neighbors in the seventh with nobody on. The Detroit Tigers beat out the Philadelphia Athletics 7-6. Detroit 7 runs, 11 hits, 2 errors. Philadelphia 6 runs, 10 hits, 3 errors. Pippen, Rowe, Bridges, and York for Detroit. With Rowe, the winning pitcher. Beckman and Hayes work for Philadelphia. Rudy York homered in the eighth with nobody on. The Cleveland Indians beat the Washington Senators 6-3. Cleveland 6 runs, 9 hits, no errors. Washington 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 error. Milner and Hintley for Cleveland. Bass, Carrasquel, and Farrell for Washington. Charlie Gilbert homered in the 7th with one man on. The Boston Bees and the Pittsburgh Pirates played a doubleheader this afternoon with Pittsburgh winning both games. The first 6-4. Pittsburgh 6 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. Boston 4 runs, 12 hits, 2 errors. Johnny Gee and Sussy, the battery for Pittsburgh. Vigo, Callahan, and Macy working for Boston. In the second game, the Pirates scored 7 runs off 10 hits, made 1 error. Boston, no runs, 8 hits, and 3 errors. Swigart and Mueller, the battery for Pittsburgh. Posadell and Lopez working for Boston. Chuck Klein homered in the fourth with 1 on for Pittsburgh. The Chicago Cubs beat the New York Giants 9-3. Chicago, 9 runs, 14 hits, no errors. New York, 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. Passo and Mancuso for Chicago. Lorman, Melton, Brown, and Danning for New York. Lorman, the losing pitcher. Hank Lieber homered in the first with 2 on for the Cubs. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Philadelphia Phils 8-3. Cincinnati, 8 runs, 13 hits, no errors. Philadelphia, 3 runs, 11 hits, 1 error. Derringer and Lombardi for Cincinnati. Paul Derringer getting his 23rd win of the season. For Philadelphia, it was Pearson, Kirsick, and Warren. Pearson, the losing pitcher. Lonnie Fry homered in the 6th with 1 on. Brooklyn and St. Louis. The Brooklyn Dodgers are leading the St. Louis Cardinals 5-4 going into the last half of the 9th inning. Hamlin and Todd, the battery for Brooklyn. McGee started for St. Louis. He was relieved by Weiland in the 7th. Davis going in, Weiland in the 5th, rather. Davis in the 7th, and Padgett the catcher. Hamlin homered for Brooklyn in the 3rd with nobody on, and Slaughter in the 1st with nobody on for the Cardinals. Motorists, it's only once in a blue moon that you hear about a really unusual offer. And this is one of those times. A chance to get a miniature reproduction of your own license plate with keychain attached for only 10 cents. Believe me, this keychain is a hit clear across the country. It's going like wildfire. Motorists everywhere want it. In fact, at the Goodrich Arena at the New York World's Fair, where Jimmy Lynch and his daredevil drivers are performing, people are standing in line waiting to get these keychains. And here's how you can get one, too. Just mail a letter to the B.F. Goodrich Company, station WJSV, Washington, giving your name and address and license plate number, and enclose 10 cents in coin or stamps to cover cost of handling. There's no obligation, nothing to buy. Remember, this keychain has a miniature reproduction of your own license plate attached, made of brass with smooth corners, with your own number. If you want to beat the rush, take my advice and mail your request to the B.F. Goodrich Company, station WJSV, Washington, with 10 cents in coin or stamps right away. Heavyweight champion Joe Louis has a great deal of respect for the man who went 11 rounds with him last night. The Brown Bomber describes Bob Pastor as a tough game opponent. He admits that Pastor's gameness and boxing skill had him puzzled until a crashing right-hand blow ended the scheduled 20-round battle in the 11th round. Lewis's co-manager, John Roxborough, says Pastor shook up the champion a bit in the 8th round. Pastor, outweighed by more than 15 pounds, made a surprising comeback after being floored 4 times in the 1st round and once in the 2nd by Lewis's dynamite-laden fists. He did a little of the running and backpedaling that carried him through 10 rounds with Lewis 2 years ago. In the 8th, 9th, and 10th rounds, he forced the fighting, and in the 8th round, he even made Lewis cover up and retreat. The beating he took in the early rounds, however, robbed Pastor of his strength, and a whistling right-hander to the jaw early in the 11th round put him on the floor for the count. After the fight, promoter Mike Jacobs announced that Pastor would probably be matched with Max Baer this winter, and later he may meet Tony Galento for the doubtful privilege of fighting Lewis again. The New York Yankees are getting ready for their 4th straight World Series, but it won't seem like a World Series to any of the old-timers without old Iron Man Lou Gehrig anchored out there on first base. It wasn't so much that Lou was a colorful figure standing out there on the initial sack. It was more than that he was there giving the game all he had every minute, whether it was an exhibition or one of the many World Series games he's helped to win. None can deny that Henry Louis Gehrig left a good record behind him when he broke a skein of 2,130 consecutive games this year. His lifetime fielding average with the Yanks was .992, and his batting average was .338. He holds more records in the American League than we have time to tell you about. One was that he is tied with Babe Ruth in leading the league in home runs for 12 years. Gehrig was in Detroit on May the 2nd this year when he broke his Iron Man string, and significantly enough, old Wally Pipp was in the stands at Grieg Stadium that day also. And Wally Pipp, to use his own words, knew the Iron Horse when he was a colt. Pip was as unhappy as Lou himself that day, even though he had cause to be jealous of Lou in former years. It was Pip's job that Lou Gehrig took back in 1925 when the Yankees were grunting along in 7th place. It happened like this. One day, Pip went into the clubhouse after batting practice and asked the trainer for an aspirin. Doc Wood suggested that Pip take a rest that day, adding, "We'd let that kid Gehrig play first today." The kid did all right. He got in a couple of base knocks and had a perfect day in the field. He stayed in the next day for many days thereafter, in fact, for 15 straight years. Gehrig had a couple of close calls, however, in maintaining his amazing endurance record. There was that time in Detroit when he was suffering from lumbago so badly that he wore an electric pad on his back until game time. He went into the game as leadoff man, sent a ball sailing over the second baseman's head. A runner was sent in, and Lou went home to bed. When he first went with the Yankees, he was making something like $2,000 a year. His top was $36,000. And all told, in 15 years, the Yankees shelled him $386,000 out of the money sack. Perhaps the Yanks don't need Lou Gehrig to help them win the World Series. They have some pretty classy hitters in DiMaggio, George Selkirk, Charlie Keller, and a half a dozen others. And besides, didn't they win the pennant hands down without him? Well, yes. But then his old friends miss Lou, and if you ask them, they'll tell you so. They hate to see any old-timer pass out of the picture. Gehrig, as you know, is suffering from a rare disease. The doctors say that he can be cured, but that he will never play ball again. He's still on the Yankee active player list and will remain on the payroll until the end of the season. After that, he may be used in some executive capacity with the club, although nobody wants to comment on that right now. Anyway, perhaps the highest tribute ever paid to Gehrig was by Clark Griffith, the owner of the Washington Senators. Griffith never had much love for the Yankees, as you may know, but once when he was asked to name an all-time all-star team, he reeled off a list of names and wound up with, "And I'll take Gehrig. He's reliable." Now, I have a real sporting proposition for all you fans who drive a car. I want you to listen to 2 or 3 safety slogans, and then, for safety's sake, to do all in your power to live up to them. Here they are. Lose a minute and save a life. Children should be seen and not hurt. Step on your speed, urge, instead of your gas pedal. Yes, safety like charity begins at home. When motorists make up their minds to do just a little bit more than is demanded of them, our streets and highways will be safer for everyone. An extra driving courtesy in accident prevention comes well-conditioned equipment. Last year, unsafe tires were responsible for thousands of dangerous skids. With driving speeds what they are, with smooth, oil-filmed roads, with today's heavy traffic, it just doesn't pay to ride around on anything but the safest tires. So have your car equipped with Goodrich Safety Silvertowns. No other tire gives you lifesaver tread skid protection. And no other tire gives you golden ply blowout protection. For unsurpassed tire safety, for honest tire economy, have your nearest Goodrich Silvertown tire dealer equip your car with Silvertowns. The Chicago Bears are monopolizing the ground-gaining brackets of the National Football League standings. The first standings issued today show three Bears at the top of the heap. Little Bob Swisher, the Bears halfback, handed everyone a surprise when he knocked off 85 yards in 8 attempts. Joe Manisi gained 84 yards in 14 tries. The freshman honors for the opening week of play was snagged by Bill Osmanski, who ticked off 64 yards in 10 dashes. Passing efficiency standings also showed a Chicagoan tied for top honors. Bernie Masterson completed 6 of 11 passes to rival Arnie Herber of the Green Bay Packers. However, Herber bested Masterson in yardage on passes by a margin of 138 yards to 129. Pass receivers were topped by Bob McChesney of Washington, who caught 4. Bill Smith of Chicago's Cardinals gained 83 yards on passes to lead that category. Smith also piled up 17 points to top the scorers. Ralph Kercheval of Brooklyn, Jack Manders of the Bears, and Smith each kicked a field goal. Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt has invited three great horses to settle the American three-year-old championship at a mile and 3/16 in the third Pimlico Special on November the 1st. Specially embossed cards are in the mail addressed to Chaladon, Johnstown, and 8:30. They've been selected from a list of five horses nominated by turf riders in a national poll. Directors of the Maryland Jockey Club say that the three were named for these reasons. First, although C.S. Howard's Kayak II and T.B. Martin's Cravat also were nominated by the riders, Chaladon, Johnstown, and 8:30 led the poll. Second, Kayak II and Cravat are four-year-olds and so are ineligible for the three-year-old title. Last year in the great race, Seabiscuit humbled War Admiral. Gene Ostifer, St. John's High School coach, has been named coach of the Washington President professional football team. His appointment was announced today after Dick Nelson, former Maryland University star, was forced to turn down the coaching job. The Brooklyn Dodgers are on top of the National League football heap today. They are the only two-game winners of the infant season. Last night, they handed the Cleveland Rams their second straight setback, 23-12, before 12,000 fans at Ebbets Field. Jack Dempsey, former heavyweight boxing champion, is going to referee at the boxing show presented by the Washington Society for the Blind. He has volunteered to referee the five-round feature between Tony Novak, national amateur heavyweight champion, and Jimmy Deckard, district Golden Gloves champion. The Boxing Carnival will be presented at Griffith Stadium on Friday night, October the 11th. That's all for tonight. Thanks for listening, and so long.
Be sure to listen in again tomorrow night, same time, same station, for another Sports Review with Harry McTighe. And in the meantime, replace those worn, unsafe tires with good, rich, safety Silvertowns with Lifesaver tread skid protection and golden ply blower protection. Stop in at your nearest Goodrich dealer or Goodrich Silvertown store. They offer you your choice of three ways to buy. You can pay cash, open a liberal 30-day charge account, or make your own long, easy budget terms.
They make a cabin old pine for that sweetheart of mine. They cut down the old pine tree. Now she's not alone in the hills tonight, but it's there in my heart she'll always be. Though we've drifted apart, still they cut out my heart when they cut down the old pine tree. They cut down the old pine tree and they haul it away to the the mill to make a cabin old pine for that sweetheart of mine. They cut down the old pine tree.
This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital.
And see who all is visiting us tonight. There's Bill and Henry and Jim and Frank and Tubby, they're all here. Come on, Sam, Rosbeck and Sam, sing the...
6 p.m., BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. Here's a distinguished timepiece, the 21 jewel Bulova President in the charm and color of natural gold. Curved, streamlined, an exceptional value. WJSV, Washington.